Well, folks, another off-season edition of Client Chat, and Murph here in Dublin, Ireland, all the way from Medicine Hat, Alberta. Brady Risk just announced as re-signing, extending his stay in purple. So first off, Brady, was it an easy decision to put pen to paper and come back to the land of purple?
Yeah, very easy decision. I think I had my mind made up probably a month or two before the season ended that I wanted to come back. And then once I found out that the team would want me back, I was pretty thrilled. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to next season.
And what a journey. And next season's journey's already started. You just said off the recording there that you've rushed back from the gym just to get onto the Clan Chat. So obviously the off-season workouts have started.
Yeah, it kind of feels like just the other day we were playing in Nottingham there, but me and my partner had a nice vacation in Portugal and then spent the last week moving back from Glasgow into a new place here in Medicine Hat. So that kind of occupied last week. And now I'm, like I said, back in the gym and went by pretty quick, but pretty motivated to have a better season, both individually and as a team next season. So yeah, back in the gym today.
So let's talk a little bit about that. What does the off season look like? I mean, you're back in the gym. Do you take about a month off before you put the skates back on, or how does the off season preparation look for Brady Risk?
So in college, I think we had a little bit longer of an off season. So I think I could allow myself to take a little bit longer off the ice. But I think this year we got a good solid group of pros in college and major junior players. I think we're going to get back on the ice starting next week already. So I felt like with pro, just looking at the schedule, you have 3 months to kind of cram in rest, but also getting ready and, you know, debriefing the season, what went well, what'd you like, what didn't you like about your season, and then kind of set some goals for the upcoming season. And then, but also pro is just such a mental grind, I feel like. So just taking that rest and enjoying being home, seeing friends, seeing family, enjoying the sun.
Well, and is one of the guys in your summer skate, your pro skate, your twin brother, Charlie, because we were talking a little bit about him off camera there as well, spent some time in the Oberliga last year, a good player in his own right. I mean, do you guys have a pretty good anything you could do, I can do better relationship? Is it very competitive?
Yeah, for sure. And he's a defenseman as well. So, you know, there's definitely some good one-on-one battles. I'm sure if you asked our parents growing up, anytime we would be on the ice together, it'd turn into a fight. Not even on the ice, it could be in the front lawn playing street hockey, wherever. Yeah, me and my brother, we have a good solid group of pros on the ice. Then we also run some skill development in the gym and on the ice for youth players in Medicine Hat, just trying to help the development side of players and move more players on to, you know, the next level.
Bray had at the time, and certainly a guy that would be known in Sheffield. One of your favorite players growing up was none other than Stefan Meyer.
Yeah, I remember. So I went to like every single Tigers game as a kid, and Stefan Meyer, he wore number 7 in Med Hat. And I remember one of the first Tigers jersey I got as a kid was number 7 with his last name on it. So I thought that was pretty cool. And then now he's working with the Southern Alberta Hockey Academy in Medicine Hat. So I've seen him a decent amount around the rink and stuff. I haven't seen him yet this year, but just kind of cool how guys will come and go from Med Hat, and a lot of guys end up coming back and settling down with a family.
Well, he would have been well known to, like I said, Brayhead at the time, but the Purple Army would have loved Stefan Meyer goal, much that like they love a Brady Risk goal. It's interesting you talk about trying to change your off season there from like NCAA to pro, because people, you know, new to the sport probably watching this year and said, this guy must have been playing pro for a few years now, but it's been a brief pro start, right? Because you've 58 games between Troia and of course in the EIHL. So between the Allsvenskan and the EIHL, I mean, you're finding your way as a pro, and what a great way to introduce yourself to the fans with 15 goals this year for the Clan.
Yeah, I think it's just kind of a testament to the NCAA level. I was grateful enough to be under two really good coaches, one in Eric Largen in Alaska Fairbanks, and then Mike Gabadet in Omaha. And you know, I think both of them, just the way they coached, really prepared me to, you know, do what I can control on and off the ice as a pro player. Like a lot of it is taking care of the body, having good habits off the ice, and that'll kind of lead to success on the ice. And I kind of felt like in college, you have only two games a week for the entire season. So you have, you know, 5 days out of the week where you can do all your habits and, you know, have a really good routine. Whereas I found in pro, there's a lot more games. There's a lot more travel. It's more of a grind, longer trips. You're not flying on planes or private in some cases. So I found for me, I had to adjust. You know, you still have to have good habits, but it's also okay to relax your mind. You don't need to white knuckle every single day. Like, it's okay to, you know, do your work at the rink, but then when you're outside of the rink, don't think about hockey.
Well, the great thing about Glasgow is there's so much to do. And certainly you knew Cade Nielsen because you played together NCAA at Alaska Fairbanks. Did you know a little bit about Glasgow before coming over? I mean, a couple of guys have mentioned they knew Cade. I know that Messner knew him in the coast. So, like, are there guys that you knew and were able to pick their brains? And, of course, Cade?
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, Cade was instrumental in, you know, getting me to Glasgow. And my partner's brother's wife actually went to law school in Glasgow for a semester abroad. I think it was 2 years ago. So I knew a lot about Glasgow from that and how it was a great city and, you know, a great area. Obviously, I'm a huge golfer. So just some of the best golf courses in the world in Scotland there. So yeah, I did a lot of research and just from the references that have been there, I was really excited to get there. And then obviously being there, it exceeded my expectations and I absolutely loved it.
I mean, you talk about the golf, but Glasgow's a great city. And out of the 10 teams, I think it's one of the best cities. Obviously, we're biased because that's who we're affiliated with, but yeah, lots of great restaurants. And if you like live music, is there a couple of things that you really enjoyed doing aside from golf and hockey while you kind of made it a second home?
Yeah, I think just being super close to downtown there or city center, I guess we could go for a walk and get a coffee, especially near the end of the year when the sun was out, just going for walks in the parks there. We found a nice sauna, cold tub spot, Soul Suites. So we would utilize that a couple times a week just for the recovery. And, you know, it's just unreal place in my opinion. And then Paisano's Pizza, I loved going there. Great pizza spot. Yeah, those are a couple things that we enjoy doing throughout the week.
And I mentioned like just 58 games pro, but what a 58 games it's been. 16 goals, 8 assists, so 24 points in your 58 games from Troia to the Clan. But in your time in NCAA hockey, I remember when you signed thinking, wow, two times he was nominated for the Hobie Baker Award, 2023 or 23-24 season and the 21-22 season, you were named as a nominee for the top NCAA player for the finalists of that award. I mean, that must have been a lovely little pat on the back for a couple of great seasons at NCAA level.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like I said, I'm a huge advocate for the NCAA route. Growing up, you had to choose between major, junior, or college. Now the players kind of have the luxury to do both. But like I said, I'm a huge advocate for the NCAA level. It's so imperative for time management. Like I said, two games a week, but that's 5 days of practicing. You're in the gym, you can put on strength. You see a lot of guys, even in the National Hockey League, like that Macklin Celebrini, guys like that, who went the college route. And it just, in my opinion, I think it prepares you so much for pro hockey.
Well, and the Leafs needed some good luck and they finally got some by winning the NHL draft lottery last night. And sort of McKenna is the sort of consensus number one pick, another standout at collegiate level. So you're absolutely right. And around the Elite League, the Belfast Giants have done such a great job with the Friendship Four and bringing the, you know, the NCAA teams across. So some of the top players we've seen in the last 4 or 5 years in the Elite League have that NCAA background. So your point is absolutely correct. I mean, and like you said, some top NHL players.
Yeah, for sure. And I think you mentioned Belfast hosting the Friendship Four. I think the last team I played on there, I think they're going to be making it there either next season or the season after. So I think that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, you finished off your collegiate career at Nebraska Omaha, but started off and had those Hobie Baker nominations at Alaska Fairbanks. What was Cade like as an NCAA teammate and now as a, you know, a Clan teammate last year?
Yeah, I think he's a good locker room guy. I think he's fun to be around. He'll work hard on the ice kind of thing. But I think he also knows how to help the guys relax off the ice in a positive way. But like I said, I think he's a really good locker room guy, great team guy. And I've enjoyed playing with them both at college and in pro.
When you're back home there in Medicine Hat, like you said, you're spending time with your twin brother fighting on the front lawn, and you're getting to see family and friends. Are you watching sort of social media? Are you watching the Clan website and noticing, or is it in the group chat? Like, obviously, as we record this, we know that Mick Messner is signed. We know that the captain, Devin Sidorov, was back anyway, and so was Steven Seigel. So you knew that. But Messner has just extended his stay. We know Mike Sarantz has extended his stay. And as we record this, it's been announced that Tristan Langan will be back for another season in purple. So are you kind of watching that and getting excited about who's going to be back?
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, you're super excited, and you know you're looking forward to next season, and you know the success we had at the end of the year. So you're hoping that we can get some of those core guys back, and you know you hear things where guys want to come back, and you know the team wants them back, and then it's just a matter of time of can they get a deal done type thing. So you know you're obviously paying attention, you're obviously checking in with guys, but at the same time, like I said, that mental reset is super important. So you're not glued to your phone. You're trying to take it day by day and just enjoy being home and know that, you know, that the right management's in place and they're going to try and ice together the best team possible. So I think in the same breath, it's my job to not worry about all that and just have a great summer where I do my part and show up in the best shape that I can be in and have a great season.
Certainly, you came over December 8th from the Allsvenskan in Sweden. A little bit of an adjustment, different type of hockey, certainly, but you certainly found your feet down the stretch as we kind of knew we were hurtling towards a date with the Belfast Giants, the league champions. Was that kind of in the back of your mind? Like, let's get to that final four. Some of your other teammates have talked to said like that was kind of the mantra, whatever it takes to get to the final four. And so what was your mindset as a guy new to the league, new to pro hockey down the stretch?
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, when I came in, I kind of had that individual adversity with, you know, what happened in Sweden, and I hadn't played in a month and a half. And then when I showed up, the team was kind of going through a lot of injuries, and it seemed like the team was having their adversity at the same time. And then I think down the stretch, I thought we came together at the right time. We as individuals, as a team, kind of got through that adversity together, and then we started playing some really good hockey. And I felt like even before the playoff weekend, we had a feeling that we could, you know, do something special down the stretch. And I think we did that, upsetting Belfast. And I think we felt, you know, we fell short by essentially one goal in the semifinals. And I didn't even think that we played up to our best standard, which is a negative in the moment, but I think it can be looked as a positive, as in, you know, it was a huge learning experience for the group. A lot of us hadn't been to that final four weekend yet. So I think with getting that core group back, the continuity in the lineup, you know, we can bring that experience not only into the playoffs next year, but throughout the whole season.
And certainly Mike Sorrent, a key cog in that, because he seemed to be able to kind of change on the fly and get things going in a different direction when there was that adversity and whatnot. Did you enjoy playing for Mike? Because he has, obviously, maybe not NCAA, but he was at University of Manitoba, university hockey for the better part of two decades. So, I mean, was that something that helped you, that kind of coaching style?
Yeah, for sure. And he's from Western Canada. So I just think that, you know, he appreciates the type of player that I am, and kind of let me play, you know, aggressive, fast, sort of the style of play that North American style of play that I was used to for the last however many years. Whereas when I was in Sweden, it was a completely different game. And I think I just, you know, was able to go back to playing who I am under Mike in a way, if that makes sense.
No, absolutely. And I think the Purple Arrow, I certainly enjoyed watching you because you hit like a freight train and then you've got that quick release. Do you have a favorite moment or a favorite goal or even a favorite shift when it kind of came together and you said, okay, the Allsvenskan and that is gone. NCAA is in the rearview mirror. The success there I'm trying to build on here in Glasgow. Was there a moment where it clicked, whether it be at home or on the road or maybe just a shift?
I think there was, you know, a stretch of games where I just decided to start shooting the puck more. You know, I think it's a simple thing. Like, my parents were telling me it, people close to me were telling me to shoot the puck more. But in my mind, I was thinking it's on Olympic sheet. I can't be shooting it as much like you do in North America. Like, if I shoot it from far out, it'll be like playing catch with a guy on the front lawn where the goalie will just catch it, you know? But I think I just started to trust my shot and shoot the puck more. And then once I saw pucks going in, I kind of realized, okay, I can get these shots off quick, and you know, they might go in. If they don't, maybe it creates a rebound or something like that. And then a specific moment where I really enjoyed this season was, you know, after we beat Belfast, the crowd was absolutely electric. Just seeing the joy on everyone's faces, you know, it made winning fun. And it was a tough year for everybody throughout the season. And I really appreciated how the fans stayed with us, even through the hard times. You know, every game I played there was essentially sold out, and you don't see that in all places. So just feeling that support through the hard times was definitely felt. And then seeing that joy, or seeing it pay off for the joy on the fans' faces after Belfast, you know, it gives me chills right now talking about it. So I'm really excited for next season.
Well, I mean, it wasn't maybe the highlight reel goal that you envisioned against Belfast, but my favorite moment of you, because Jake Kupski was so good in the quarterfinal leg one with the shutout, and it was going to take a squeaker or a greasy goal, and you kind of shot it in off the back of his pants, so to speak, on a kind of a bobbling puck, and it seemed to break his hold on us, if you will, of not being able to be beaten. So sometimes it's, like you said, it's just putting the puck on net, and that might not have been the prettiest goal you've ever scored or will ever score, but it was a huge goal, wasn't it, to turn that tie around?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's definitely some luck involved, and the funny thing is looking back, I think we played Belfast a couple of weeks before that, and it was the same end, same goalie, just tried to put a puck on net and hit a D-man stick, and it goes up and over his head and in. So that was just a fluky one. And then that one, I was trying to pass to Schwartzy back door, and then their D-man did a good job deflecting it, and then it kind of went right back to my stick. So I just kind of whacked it to try and get it off his back and in, and obviously got lucky there. But in the playoffs, you know, like Mike kind of emphasized throughout the playoffs, is they're not going to be pretty. They're going to be ugly. So I'm thankful it went in, and yeah, hopefully can do the same thing next year.
Yeah, it was a huge moment because he was standing tall, literally a huge goalie, and he was seeing the puck like a beach ball. And sometimes it takes a moment like that to break the back of a guy who was dialed in. And then certainly, obviously, Langer had a big power play goal. So it was a wonderful moment at home ice. Did you see the video, I'm sure you have by now, of the Clan fans marching through the streets of Nottingham? I've asked a few of the guys, and they said it was absolutely like something they've never seen before, with the bagpiper and the flares and the drummers and the chants. I mean, what an impressive thing for the fans, about 300-400 of the Purple Army marching through the streets of Nottingham. I get chills thinking about that.
Yeah, for sure. Mike showed us a video of it before the third place game. Just it's kind of motivate us and say, you know, this game is what it is, but let's do it for them. They made the trip, you know, they support us all year, so let's just play for them. And I think like I said, that goes back to the support they had with us all year, even on the road. You know, we're traveling 5 to 7 hours. They're right there with us most games, waiting outside our bus, giving us fist pumps, even win, lose, or draw. You know what I mean? So I think that just goes to show the support that we get from the fans. And like I said, you know, it's felt all season long.
Now, as you kind of get into the, like you said, you might get back on the ice sooner rather than later to kind of get that preparation underway. Are you allowing yourself some time to watch a little bit of the NHL? This time of year, I kind of miss being in the right time zone because obviously there's playoff games here at 3 a.m, as you well know from the season. But are you able to kind of enjoy some NHL action now that you're in the proper time zone?
Yeah, for sure. That's the one down part about being across the pond there is I didn't watch a single hockey game all season. So then when I came back here every night, I'll be eating dinner and watching the playoffs. And in my opinion, the playoff hockey is the best thing to watch in all of sports. Like, it's unreal.
Do you have a favorite or do you have a horse in the race? I mean, obviously you're an Alberta guy, and the Oilers back-to-back Stanley Cup finalists and not able to get out of round one there this year. So is there someone you're kind of cheering for?
Well, I'm a Leafs fan, ironically, being from Alberta. So no, I don't have a horse in the race, but I just like watching good teams compete, and you know, it's fun to watch. And I honestly don't care who wins, but I just, like I said, I enjoy watching. And you know, it's so hard to win. Like, Dallas Stars getting knocked off in the first round. Oilers, they got the best player in the world knocked off in the first round. Like, it just shows you how hard it is to win at that level.
Well, and it goes to show, like, as we did, it was the first time since 2016 that the number 8 seed in the EIHL season got past the number 1 seed. So playoff hockey, it just hits different, doesn't it? And it doesn't matter what the league is, playoff hockey is really, really special. Especially where we grew up, we're not used to kind of the league, the football mentality, if you will. You guys obviously grasped that fairly quickly playing in the EIHL, but there's just something about playoffs, isn't there?
Yeah, especially with the two-game aggregate series, I've never been a part of something like that. So I think that, you know, in playoffs, anyone can win. But in a seven-game series, it's a little bit tougher to upset a top-seed team. So I felt like the two-game aggregate kind of makes things more interesting for the fans and, you know, makes every shift that much more important because all it takes is one shift where, you know, it could mess up the whole thing. You know what I mean? So definitely exciting as a player to play in. Those are moments you want to be in. And then as a fan, it's got to be super entertaining as well.
You mentioned you got to Portugal with your partner and able to kind of see some of Europe. I said it to McMester the other night. It's kind of a real pinch me moment, isn't it? You get paid to play the game you grew up loving, but you also get to see the world. And I know maybe Sweden didn't end the way you wanted it to, but you got to play in Sweden. You've been to Portugal. You're playing golf in Glasgow, playing hockey in Glasgow. I mean, it's a real pinch me moment, a real honor to be able to be around the game you love and to see the world.
Yeah, for sure. I was telling my parents when I got back that, you know, when I was in junior and I was in college, I was just so focused on getting to the next level and doing everything I could to do that. And then being in Portugal, sitting on a beach, it was kind of like you're saying that pinch me moment where it's like, wow, like I have a pretty good life where, you know, I'm not playing in the NHL, but I can still see the world, play the game that I love and get to see cool countries that I never even would have imagined when I was, you know, a child. So I think everyone's dream is obviously to play in the National Hockey League. But it was kind of like you said, that pinch me moment I had sitting there on the beach in Portugal where I was like, this is pretty awesome.
Well, a pinch me moment for the Clan fans when they saw the announcement that Brady Risk will be back for a season 2. A pinch me moment to be able to catch up and talk properly. It's such a hectic run-in for the playoffs and all that. So nice to catch up with you, Brady. Thanks for taking the time to join us on Clan Chat. And I look forward to seeing you back on this side of the pond. And it'll go quickly. I'll see you in a few months' time.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me, Murph. And to the Glasgow fans, I appreciate all the support. Really looking forward to being back, playing in Brayhead there. And it's going to be a great season.
Have a good summer, buddy.
Thanks, Murph.